The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to appear, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. I just wanted to start right here with the beginning of that first reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, just because it packs such an important punch for the beginning of Advent. He addresses everybody. So this is the ancient church of Thessalonica at the time. He says, "Brothers and sisters, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his holy ones. Amen." And he finishes that statement with amen, and then the reading continues right there. That's such an important statement for us today, because that's what we wait for during the time of Advent. It's a time of preparation to wait for love itself actually entering the world to love us in the way that we know how to love between other human people. That's a profound, profound reality in our life. One of the things that we always have to remind ourselves is that in our salvation history, God first appears to his people just in word alone. That's, he speaks to Abraham, he speaks to Moses, but they don't know him as a walking, talking human being like they did once Jesus entered the world. So when I was young, I'd mentioned this to a lot of people, there's just so many things I didn't know when I was young, of course, right? You know, there's a million things I didn't know, but a lot of things about the faith, a lot of things about the faith. On Tuesday, I had a mass for parents who've been learning about their children receiving First Communion. So they had already been at like four sessions before, and then their children join them in a teaching mass that we hear Tuesday night. I have a couple that are right here today, you know, and so during that, I describe so many things that we do that we don't say, you know, we don't say them out loud. Just like even the idea when we say, you know, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, and we say, you know, "Glory to you, our Lord," and I have a friend who's Protestant, and he's just like, "Pete, what does that mean?" Like when we do that, I was like, "Oh, right." You know, it's just like, we want the Lord's word to be in our minds, on our lips, and in our heart. And that's something that anybody who believes in God could get behind, right? But we don't always explain that, right? And we especially need to explain that to our young so they get like why we do the things that we do. And I mention this all the time. I mentioned it on Christ the King. But our tabernacle is an amazing thing. Well, it's amazing because it has our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist on the inside, first and foremost, right? But the actual tabernacle itself is amazing because there's something amazing on this door right here. And it's something, again, as a child that I had no idea and I did not understand. So you hear the terms, "and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And that's what it says on our door. Engraved on the door is "et verbum caro factum est," the Latin inscription. "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." I probably heard that a million times as a child, and I was like, okay, I don't understand what that means. Like, I had no idea what that meant, right? But it meant that God, who only appeared to his people as just a word, as a voice speaking from heaven to his people, becomes flesh, becomes a man when Jesus Christ comes through here. Through what? Through the yes of our Blessed Mother Mary. And that's what's on the rest of the door there, is the angel Gabriel announcing that Mary is to be the mother of God. So through her yes, through her cooperation, she begins the process of undoing what the first Eve did, which was follow her own will. Mary begins to reverse it by saying, Lord, I will follow your will. That's a profound point in history. And now we enter here. And as I've told you guys, mountaineering stories and climbing stories before, I just realized how much an inordinate amount of time I spent climbing, because I keep coming up with stories. I'm like, I don't think I told them that one yet. But the reason I tell them is because we were just in RCIA and we talked about how we really do learn through stories. How often people ask Jesus stuff and he was like, let me tell you a parable. You know, and so he goes straight into a story instead of sometimes telling them directly the thing, so that we could apprehend it with our own mind and heart a lot of the time. So one of them is not even really so much about me, but my friend Drew. So one of my best friends, Drew, he took over for me at the Multnomah Athletic Club, so he still runs their climbing program. But he's an accomplished mountaineer. I mean, he's climbed Denali in Alaska twice, a couple peaks in Nepal, Aconcagua in South America. I don't know, he's probably climbed Mount Hood like 20 times. Just lots and lots of mountains and stuff. But he was going to go back to Denali in Alaska, and that is a big, huge mountain. And one of our very dear parishioners here actually gave me a beautiful painting of Denali and some of the mountains surrounding in that area, because, I mean, I do love the mountains, as we are all hearing once again. And so during this time, though, I'm what they call in the mountaineering world a weight weenie. So weight weenie, that means somebody who counts like every gram and every ounce, because we have a phrase, ounces make pounds. And so you got to carry all that stuff on your back. And so you got to count all that stuff up so that you count, so you have as little as possible with you. And so I helped Drew out, and we laid out, I mean, the preparation that we took is we laid out all of his gear and then a whole bunch of my gear. And our mission was to give him the lightest pack possible. And what this points to is one of the important parts that's in the gospel today. This phrase right here where it says, be vigilant at all times. And what is vigilant? Vigilant is watchful waiting, right? You know, it's a preparedness. And so you're watching and you're waiting, but you're also doing things in the beginning to prepare for that time, right? So he's preparing for a summit that's far in the future at this point by doing what we were doing there. And believe it or not, we had a gram scale. We're weighing things and doing all this stuff. When we were done, his pack weight, because he'd already done Denali once before, was 15 pounds lighter than it was before, just by us doing that preparatory exercise of going through all this stuff. That sometimes can be the difference between success and failure. They're on the mountain for over a month on the mountain with an extra 15 pounds. That's a lot of weight every day, every step, day after day. Now, fast forward to another experience. My friend Drew was with me on this one. I tried to climb Mount Rainier 3 times, and I have failed all 3 times. I have yet to still summit the mountain, Mount Rainier. I don't know, it just eludes me. Something always happens every single time that we go. And so Drew and I are there. Oh, it is a miserable, miserable first day. I have a picture where it was like a sleety, icy rain, only something that we get in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, right? It was coming from the left at a diagonal angle. And the whole left side, there's a picture of the whole left side of my body is like icicles. It was like my left side was completely frosted. It was the weirdest thing. And you could see it in the picture. There's like little icicles off of my like sunglasses, glacier glasses. And so we get up there. And again, yes, because the weather is miserable, we're in the hut. And what do? You peek outside the door. Nope, not yet. You know what you do? Nope, not yet. And hours later, we just keep looking and waiting. And that's much of what the time of Advent is like. Even when you think about your Advent calendars, right? Every single time you open the door, you take another little peek about the waiting of Jesus to come to us. It's similar to a time of Lent in that because it's the most profound thing that ever happened in history. Jesus coming to this earth for us, to love us so that we can grow in love in the very way that we understood. Remember, some of you that read the Psalms regularly or pray the Liturgy of the Hours, remember, it's like, God, you are the God above all other gods. And, you know, people are like, well, of course, you know, we think, well, there's only one God. But the Psalms were written in a time where everybody around them were pagan tribes. And they believed in many gods of all different sorts. And so they're like, God, you are the God above all other gods. He doesn't come to us like a natural wonder of the world or an animal or the sun or the moon, nothing. He comes to us in the very thing that we would understand the most. That's why Catholic Christianity is the most profound faith that there is, because our God appears to us as us. He takes on human form because that's the thing. We don't understand a golden calf so well. Makes no sense to us, right? You know, the sun is amazing for many, many reasons, but we don't really speak to the sun like we speak to one another. He comes to us in something we can know and understand. That's why he's the God above all other gods, because those other things are not gods. They're just stuff. They're just matter. They're created things, and God created all things. So during the time of Advent, we seek to remove obstacles in our way to that reality, to Jesus Christ, to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're watching and we're waiting for him to come in our life. So what's the obstacle? Just like at Lent, is there something? Is there something in our life that might be sort of like, who knows, we just had Thanksgiving, right? Maybe it's chocolate. Like maybe we had way too much chocolate even on just the day of Thanksgiving. And for the next 4 weeks, for a month, you're like, Lord, to make myself more aware of obstacles that are in my way to a relationship with you, I'm going to give up chocolate. Or is it taking something on? You know, we remember when we fast forward all the way to Easter and we think of Holy Week, what's the most profound thing that we do on Holy Thursday? Well, we haven't gotten to do it for 2 years, but God willing that we will get to wash people's feet once again here in this church, right? But what does the Lord say in that moment? He washes all of the apostles' feet, and he says, I give you an example. Go and do likewise. His example is to serve other people, especially those who are in greater need. And so during this, is it giving something up? Is it taking something on that emulates the life that Jesus had and the teaching that he gives to us? Whatever it is, for a month, for that period of Advent, as we wait, as we watch, just like as we kept looking at the summit to see if things were ready for us to go up there, we keep looking and waiting for the Lord. And we can teach our kids that. If they're using an Advent calendar, we really teach that it's not so much about the next piece of chocolate behind the window, right? It's that we're preparing. Just like Drew and I tried to prepare for his trip, we're doing some work to prepare for something really profound that's happening in our life. Even the things that we have that are sort of cultural and not particularly religious, but the giving of gifts and different things like that. We can use all of that like a parable that Jesus would use to give a very profound truth to those who are younger so that they understand that the gift really is Jesus. Somebody asked me actually just this morning about why we don't sing the Gloria at Advent. Some people are like, oh, I remember we didn't do it at Lent, but I forgot that we did not do so at Advent. And you know what I sent them? I was just like, if we remember that some of the first people that ever see the Lord, besides, you know, the Holy Family, right, besides Mary and Joseph, are the shepherds. And the shepherds sing that very hymn, glory to God in the highest. The angels come down. You know, that's what's happening at that point. The shepherds and the angels, glory to God in the highest. That's what happens at that moment. So I sent the video of Charlie Brown Christmas, the last 3 minutes and 14 seconds. And he says, does anybody know what Christmas really means? And then, you know, comes out on the stage. So if you need to watch that, it's a great little clip because it actually explains that Jesus is coming and the shepherds and the angels and glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people of goodwill. And he recites that whole entire part. That's why we wait to sing that song of glory. So with the angels in heaven, with the shepherds, those humble, humble people who he first appears to, we sing this hymn all together once he comes incarnate into the world, once the flesh becomes made into this world. I was teaching, or I was giving the homily for our school mass just about a week ago, and this is how profound stories can be, right? Because it's not so much about the story, but is it giving you something that's actually true, a truth of Jesus? And I said to everybody, has anybody here, have their parents ever told them the story about the boy who cried wolf? And it was like every single hand went up into it. So I was like, okay, well, that is a well-known story apparently in the community. But we tell that story because there is a truth that we are trying to teach to the young. So use these aspects. Some of them, like I said, they might be pagan origins or cultural things and stuff like that, but we can use them as tools to give our children a greater gift, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, and explain why he is such a great gift. So we just kind of step out of the box and we be as creative as possible. So we're walking around with 15 less pounds on our back, right? You know, that's the goal. If we step out of the box and we do a little bit of preparation and work, then we can do it. And like I've said before, I said a couple weeks ago, as we hear sometimes this apocalyptic language, the best way that we can prepare is to draw ourselves closer to the sacraments of our Lord Jesus Christ, receiving the Eucharist. That's why we have penance services in Advent and Lent, so that we receive the Lord in the Eucharist, we receive his forgiveness, because the closer we are to the church and his ministry in the sacraments, that's the way that we can be the best prepared to meet him someday. Because not only do we prepare for his coming at Christmas, we remember the greater reality that he will come again to all humanity in the second coming. So we're really preparing ourselves for something far greater than just the memorial of Christmas. We prepare for our Lord to come again, and we want to be prepared for that. God bless you all.